Military and Veterans Affairs is called order. First thing is cell phones, housekeeping issues. Second thing is we have Representative Kawasaki, Representative Tammy Wilson, myself, Rep. Scotto, and Representative Bob Book. I saw Representative Ramos initially here, but he's temporarily out. We have the two governor bills we held over on Tuesday. House Bill 291, Revenue Bonds for Veterans, and 292, Grants to Disaster Victims. Let's start back with House Bill 291. And here, once again, Alaska Housing Finance. Everybody's favorite person. Well, you sent money to me. I'm okay with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a very wonderful greeting. I'm Dan Fauske, CEO of Alaska Housing. And
did you say Fauske or Fauska?
Fauske.
I've got to get this right because remember the look on Representative Ramos's face when I said, no, it's Fauska.
He just greeted me that way.
He looked at me like, oh, my gosh. I said, he's Norwegian. Don't you know any Norwegian? So go ahead again.
Well, we're here to revisit House Bill 291, which enacted the issuance of state-guaranteed revenue bonds by the Alaska Housing Finance Corp. to finance mortgages for qualifying veterans. I did have an opportunity to meet with Representative Kawasaki and Representative Peterson on this issue,
okay. And
I think we had a good session and got a lot of the questions answered. So if you'd like me to revisit the
Well,
issue,
did you get all of the questions answered? Are there questions still lingering? You good?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had a very productive meeting. And
I'm happy to hear that.
I appreciate
that.
And, the
Representative Book, did you have any outstanding questions not yet asked?
Amendment numbers 1 through 24, sir.
Those are excellent. Yeah. I was looking for those, and they've all failed to pass. They're not adopted. And so, Tammy, anything?
No.
You were good. So we have no questions left, and therefore it's a golden opportunity to move the bill. Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 291, 2879, Version A, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
What a sweetheart. Is there an objection? Seeing and hearing none, this bill passes from committee, which takes us to Representative Lynn is here now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Don't go too far. No, I'm okay. We're good. As we pass around the sign-in sheets.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Grants to Disaster Victims, House Bill 292. I'm almost expecting an amendment to this, but I'll wait and see. Members of the committee, House Bill 292 has been before us at the last meeting. We held it over because the conversation went on and on and on, and we had to get to Purple Heart. And Representative Harris is here now, too. Boy, we are really rolling in the membership. It's over here, sir.
There it is right here.
This is the Representative Lynn.
Thank you. Retired military guy, treat him with respect.
Yes, sir.
He's a foot taller than I am and 40 pounds wider. He always gets respect.
He's got bad knees.
That means I can run faster.
You got them repaired, right?
I'm missing something, and I'm glad.
None of the above is true.
Me too.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm military, and I don't have bad knees. That was all.
Or it's a hip. What is a hip?
I got them fixed. I'm good to go.
Oh, they're all good now?
Respectively.
Right. What a guy.
I'm sorry.
So,
former speaker.
We on the record?
The acknowledged.
We passed out the first bill, revenue bonds for veterans.
Well, that didn't take you very long.
Well, it's a continuation from the previous meeting where we covered the Purple Heart Day and these two bills. Bill number one, which is House Bill 291, Revenue Bonds for Veterans, has passed out. We now have House Bill 292, Grants to Disaster Victims.
My kind of meeting.
And we had plenty of testimony, but maybe you could repeat some of it in short form to give us a hint. It went from 5,000 up to 14,900, some odd number like that.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Michael O'Hare. I'm the Deputy Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. It's a pleasure to be here before you again. Just a quick summary of HB 292. The concept of the bill, it proposes an increase in the cap of the governor providing individual assistance grants to victims of state-declared disasters. This amount has been on the books since 1977. It's been tweaked a little bit, 1980, but it's the $5,000 cap that's been on the books for over 20 years. What we're trying to do is to modernize it to provide for, make it more appropriate to today's economy. So what we did was we set up a task force, multi-agency task force, to identify, do we increase it? How do we increase it? What's the mechanism by which we do so? So the task force met in 08 and decided that the best model to follow would be one half of the federal individual assistance, which fluctuates based upon the consumer price index. So it was a good model to follow as the years progress and the economy's changed to make that that allocation, that grant program, more appropriate to the economy. So currently, the current amount is capped at $5,000. What the current proposition at its current rate, half of the federal individual assistance, is approximately $15,000 would be the cap. As I said before in testimony, we don't go out and just immediately cut checks for victims. We go over an extensive application process, interview process, verification process for those victims to make sure that, A, they certainly did have the loss, B, that they cannot provide for that loss on their own. They don't have the financial wherewithal to do it. They don't have insurance to do it. If they're not required to have insurance, that's another issue to talk about as well. But it's an extensive application and review process. Also, verification that the grant awards allocated, that we see some verification of the spending, the receipts for the expenditures as well. So in a nutshell, it is an increase of the cap for individual assistance to grants for disaster victims.
Thank you. And I'm looking at the fiscal note for 11, 12, on out to 16. And in the latter years, we're at $900,000, or close enough to $1 million. And how many recipients have received or expect? I mean, I have some in my notes here that there may be two events per year that qualify for this benefit?
There may be, sir.
Okay, so we're expecting two.
Right, and the fiscal note is all anticipatory, speculative numbers. Nobody can figure out how many disasters we have. We average about two per year, but the state disasters are the smaller disasters. They're the ones that do not warrant the federal disaster declaration, or this proposal. This bill also affects those that aren't in a federally declared disaster area. The 2009 spring floods, we had a great deal of the communities, 40 communities that were affected and were and qualified for federal disaster assistance, but there were about 30 recipients that were outside that area within the state disaster declaration, were severely devastated, but the community could not qualify because it was not so widespread. So on those terms, all we could provide for them was up to $5,000, which didn't even get them back on a half a knee, sir.
Okay. Questions? Representative Kawasaki.
He had his hand up first.
Oh, sorry. Representative Brook.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in lieu of discussions that took place the other day, this is all tentative, and of course we're based on a fact that we had a couple of disasters, but you know, anything could happen in this state, and that's one of the discussions that we had. And so when you treble the payment and look at the potential there, that was my concern, and that was what I expressed. And the information that I got as a request of that answered my questions. So I appreciated the
to visit, and I think that there was a lot of things that we resolved within that visit. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the questions that I had came from the last statement that was made at the end of the testimony when we had this brought before us on Tuesday. It dealt with, again, the question that this in 2011, the $300,000 would actually get to a person directly, a person or a family. And I think that it was mentioned that that the disaster recovery fund, this pot of money, could be used for anything to meet the disaster-related necessary expenses. So again, can you explain, can it go to, say, DCCD for making sort of grant payments? Could it go to the Department of Health and Social Services for, I don't know what kind of funds they have. Could it go to a VOAD to help with abatement of homes? I just want to ensure that if we're in fact saying that this is going to go to victims of the disaster, that it gets directly to them in the form of that the $15,000 grant rather than being circulated around to another agency.
Through the chair, Representative Kawasaki, we had a real quick conversation in the hallway, and it was a quick attempt to clarify, and I'd be glad to do it right here now. When a disaster is declared, we have a disaster relief fund to pull money from it. It provides for the two elements of a disaster, the response element and the recovery element. It is a pool of money. We have teams of I have staff, disaster assistance staff, that go out to those affected communities immediately, assess the damages, approximate the money we're talking about, money to provide for these people that can qualify for these people, as well as the as we're going through the safety of life issues of the response of the disaster, that money is all together. So there's two aspects of a disaster to provide for. One is the response costs, which would include reimbursing DEC for hazardous mitigation, hazardous cleanup, health and social services for their work in the communities, the safety of life issues. And then there's the other aspect of how much can the state provide for those individuals to help them recover. And that's what we're talking about. And I, as I told you in the hallway, every dollar that we estimate to go to those individuals goes to those individuals, sir.
So, follow up.
Please.
So, you know, and I don't claim to know the financial parts of it or understand them all, but it sounds like there's just one fund that you'd be able to draw off of, and that in FY11 you're requesting a $300,000 increment, and then potentially out another $900,000 per year.
Again, the fiscal note is purely speculative. Sure. We're making assumptions on, you know, on average disasters, and then we're also speculating on the amount of people that could be affected. So those are pure estimates. As a disaster happens, and we request through the legislature disaster relief fund spending to provide resources for the disaster relief fund to help with this specific disaster. And we have set costs. The estimates would be for the response costs, and the set costs would also be for the recovery costs. And what we're asking for is to increase the cap for the recovery aspect that we could provide if they qualify up to this new amount, $15,000 up and down. So,
Mike, unspent money in 2012, let's say he only spent half of it.
Yes, sir.
Does it roll over to 13?
Yes, sir.
So in the out years, it could be a pretty substantial fund.
It could be. As a matter of fact, it was a great question, Mr. Chairman. Prior to this big spring flood disaster, we had $10 million. The legislature saw fit to forward fund the disaster relief fund. We had $10 million in that fund that was utilized for this large-scale disaster, not just for the individual assistance dollars, but it was a federally declared disaster, and by statute, The state is responsible in a federally declared disaster to own up to 25% of the cost, and the federal government provides for the other 75%. So it adds to that as well, but it was substantial.
And in tough years, each applicant is limited to the amount you have here, but if you have more applicants than money, especially in the early years, then you have to proportion it?
We either have to proportion it or go back to the legislature for approval for more money.
And could you take any money, I don't know, it's like borrowing from future years?
From one disaster to another, from one disaster, if we've underspent that one to another one, yes.
What about where you spent it all in 12 and you need more, and you look at 13's appropriation, and you spend 13's money in 12?
Sir, we don't come back every year. It's up to the legislature, truly, if they want to forward fund the disaster relief fund. It's not necessary. During each disaster, where the costs are over $1 million, we have to come to the legislature for approval, to the legislative leadership, both bodies, with a notification that disaster has occurred. We anticipate these expenditures for response and recovery. If it's a federal disaster, our portion of the 25% match, and bring it to the legislature for approval.
So on January 15th, we have a disaster, major disaster.
Yes, sir.
You're going to use all the money, but you've got money left over from the previous year.
We may, from previous disaster.
If you do.
Yes, sir.
And you've got a following year that you haven't tapped yet. That's what I'm getting at. Can you bring that money back into the current year and say we'll just go in debt? We won't have enough for the next year?
No, sir. We are required to have those funds available, especially in a federal disaster declaration, is our responsibility to provide for that 25%. So we need to have that money.
Okay. Representative Book.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If it would happen during the course of the legislative session, it can be approved through a supplemental budget.
Right.
And that's how it occurs, if that would be requisite. But in the interim, the money that is appropriated goes through the chair, the president of the Senate, and the speaker of the House. Those
Correct.
Two people have the appropriations authority. So that's the protocol. And but normally speaking, this committee in years past, we have been asked as a supplemental to acknowledge that and pay for it. So that has happened prior to your being chairman, Jim, in this committee.
Any more questions?
He's smart for not being on the finance committee.
Oh, he's a whiz. He's a vet. So he knows everything.
Chairman, let's move the bill.
All you've got to do is make a motion, Mr.
Move House Bill 292 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there an objection? Seeing none, 292 moves from committee. Don't forget to sign the yellow form. And thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I get it off from you, John.
And we'll hear this in State Affairs as soon as we can.
We had a request to...
Yes, I asked him to do that.
Purple Heart.
Yeah. Okay. So money was all heard the client. Everybody.
We couldn't do anything without John here.
We
couldn't do anything without John here. That's why we couldn't move him. We were waiting for him.
We couldn't do anything expeditiously without John.
Oh, I signed. Yeah. Just got to get everybody's signature.
I don't see any. That's just, because we've got a whole bunch of votes getting ready to pile up on us here.
Yeah, I can hardly. Pardon me?
Yeah, you're on the record.
You got it.
You're on the record.
Yeah, we'll go. Slam her down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Meeting's adjourned.